The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Have the changes in the banking industry affected you? With the looming possibility that your local bank branch might disappear and more web, mobile, and social technologies, what will the changes mean for you and your business? Welcome to Breaking Banks with your host, Brett King. The possibility that banking is no longer a place you go, but just something that you do, has become very real. Now, here is Brett King.
Welcome back to Breaking Banks. Last week we had a great show on personal financial performance. This week we're going to be talking about technologies that we use every day, things like IVR, call center technologies, mobile apps, and all of these new technologies we're using increasingly, and whether or not these technologies have the potential to disrupt the day-to-day service experience of the average banking customer, and this extends to other retail and service businesses, of course, as well. So, when you think about technology and the service experience, things like an IVR call center system, this tends to be pretty clunky. You call up these call center lines, and it will say press 1 for English, press 2 for Spanish, and then you go through this IVR tree, which can sometimes sound like an org chart, extremely complex. And then when you think of the technology, even like a simple ATM. This technology, when it first started, was pretty clunky. But, touchscreen improvements and voice recognition and all these things are making these technologies much easier to use. So is there going to be a time when these technologies will be good enough that they could approximate a human interaction? Could they potentially one day replace a human service agent for some of these day-to-day types of inquiries, interactions? That's the theme of the show today. So first up, we have from Sutherland Global Services, Shankar Krishnan. Shankar, can you introduce yourself, please?
Absolutely. Great to be here, Brett. Thanks for having me. Great show. So again, Shankar Krishnan, career banker with Citigroup for over 12 years and with Standard Chartered before that. Run the client engagement function at Sutherland Global Services, responsible for all the customer experience from engagement to hopefully there is no end. Hopefully they stay with us forever. So great to be here.
So tell me about some of the organizations that Sutherland is working with. And on the theme of what we were talking about at the start of the show, where are you guys seeing organizations invest in respect to the humanization of the technology experience?
Yes, and Sutherland has had the honor of working with the top 50 brands around the world across telecom, banking and financial services, retail, insurance, health, and government. So absolutely, we are seeing this transformation across each of these verticals. And also the question is, what exactly is a bank? I mean, and Brett, you have been a forerunner in this concept, but typically we all look at banks as what it used to be, but really, I mean, if you look at the telecom, someone like an AT&T managing 350 million clients, and they have a lot of payment products. If you look at on the tech side, Apple or Microsoft, they have millions of clients that they are managing, and same with someone like a Costco on the retail side. So first of all, I would like to say that the distinction of what a bank is changing, and it could be any of the above. Second of all, to your point, absolutely, I think banks are lagging in this aspect, but learning very quickly from people like an Apple or even like your grocery store like Trader Joe's or Wegmans from a customer experience perspective. So I think banks for their first time in their lives are saying, how can we be the best at customer experience across industry? And this refreshing attitude by the banks is kind of letting them embrace a variety of technologies which are enabling better customer experience, better customer empowerment, and overall more satisfied customers. So we see the trend across each of these sectors and across banks specifically, right.
So if we're talking about an average service experience where I dial, you know, call one of these organizations, mm-hmm. you know, what are the tactical things that these organizations are doing to improve the service experience? You know, it's probably things like first call resolution and things like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as a customer, what's going to incent me to use, for example, an automated, you know, the voice response systems, these, you know, IVR systems? What would be an incentive for me to call an organization more often on that sort of technology when today I just want someone to solve the problem, you know, and we hear this quite often that people just want to, I just want to talk to a human that can solve my problem. So how are we bridging that gap?
Yeah, good question. So I think, first of all, a lot of the bad experiences, I should say, of today are from the fact that, you know, they're taking a piece of technology and letting it mirror an organization structure. So because the organization construct of a bank has makers and checkers and tellers and then supervisors, they took that same org structure and tried to make the technology mimic it. And therefore, a lot of bad experience, a lot of issues with the way technology was delivered. But I think right now there is an effort whereby people are saying, how do we simplify this? How can the voice be our password? I mean, how can be our MSN Messenger or whatever messaging tools that we use on the phone enable the consumer to kind of have a direct conversation with the person who can solve their problem? So I think this refreshing approach to banking, and a lot of the banks have learned it from retail or the airline sector even. So I think now when you call someone, if you call a lot of the global banks who have kind of been the first to start, not because they are smarter, but because they have the big wallets to spend, I think we see a lot of banks that wherein you're able to get in, and when you get in, it says, okay, can I use your voice as your password? So you kind of speak into a system. And what that does is then the second time you call, it enables you to go directly to the source of the problem, because there's a lot of analytics that is also getting built as we speak, which kind of know. So when my call comes in, someone like a Citi, for example, would know that it is Shankar that is calling, and the intelligence system at Citi would prompt the technology at Citi to say that I have two cards and two bank loans or one current account. So depending on my history of calling, they're able to take me directly to the most likely question I may have, and therefore solve my problem the soonest, rather than, like you say, Brett, waiting, and then, you know, 10 people, and 10 minutes later, they all figure out that no one can solve the problem, and in comes a supervisor. So I think all of that is beginning to go away.
Right. So, you know, you mentioned the voice recognition. So, you know, once you've recorded your voice and linked that, it links to your account number or your telephone number, or how does that work so you get that recognition when you call back the second time?
Right. So, typically there's a couple of ways in which they do it. So if it is a single product relationship or you just have one thing, then obviously it gets linked to that account. But typically, banks are moving to kind of, hold an unique account for me, which they may call the master account or they may call the virtual account or whatever. So they link my voice to that account so that it gets very easy for them to identify me with that master. And beneath that master, there may be cards, there may be loans. And in the traditional example which you mentioned, a lot of these systems did not talk to each other. So the card system was independent of the loan system, was independent of the mortgage system, was independent of the overdraft, and so on. So when you called, you had to punch all those numbers. But I think now that they have kind of consolidated all these into one account, I think very quickly we realized it's me calling against that master account. And basically, the machine itself prompts and says, hey, are you calling about your card? Are you calling about your loan? And all I have to say is card or loan, and then it takes the transaction into the next level of detail. And from there, the analytics kick in, and then the system itself says, are you calling about your balance? Are you calling about your last transaction and so on? So there is an automated solution which solves 90 to 95% of what I'm calling for. The other interesting thing is that earlier on, we would kind of know that it is the machine talking to us. So it is a little bit like listening to Kraftwerk in the 80s. But I think right now, a lot of technology has changed where you don't realize that the voice using natural language seems as human and very human. So I think that's increasing the adoption.
So it's interesting, actually. You've said that, you know, a large portion of this appears to actually be anticipating the needs of the customer. And to your point, you know, I personally did a lot of work with the likes of HSBC, and I remember being in a call center for a Middle Eastern bank in Qatar at one stage. And sometimes these call center staff would have to navigate six, eight different screens just to go from, you know, a bank account to then finding a credit card balance because, you know, there was not this unified view of the customer. So, you know, is part of this really an organization understanding who the customer is and what relationship they have so that you can anticipate the needs of the customer faster?
Absolutely, and believe me, there's still some places where it is as bad as it was before. But I think for the most part, I think people have come to realize it, and this is thanks to a lot of analytics and the science of analytics. People are asking the question as a bank, what is the lifetime value of a customer to me? And when you ask that question, you begin to ask questions as to what is the overall value of a customer to the bank? And in doing so, you kind of measure it across all aspects of banking, cards, loans, mortgages. You also kind of define a customer from where he is today and then say, okay, here is the 360 view. So today he's a student, tomorrow he needs a payroll account, then he needs an investment account, then he needs a pension account, and then God forbid he dies at some point, he needs real estate sales. So then you plot your lifetime value of a consumer using this process, and in order to do so, they had to break away from the traditional ways of, you know, multiple silos emerging, and that is a big reason why you see that this change happening.
So in respect to the sorts of investment that your firm's making, you know, what are you investing in from a technology and platform perspective so you can better enable you know, your customers that are building these platforms for their customers? So, you know, what are you guys investing in right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, we are looking at every single process out there and kind of re-engineering a lot of it, saying, okay, here is the ASIS process. Now, given the movement of the customer and the growth of the millennials, all the other stuff that is happening from a segmentation perspective, how should Sutherland kind of re-engineer its processes so that our back office is able to get the maximum benefit out of the technology? So we are doing the re-engineering first. And once that is done, what we are doing really is embracing technologies like Siri, technologies which are basically best of breed from kind of messenger type messaging and SMS perspective. And in embracing these technologies, we are able to kind of change our own model. So the old model used to be, okay, our 100 guys are better, cheaper, faster than your 100 guys. But now we are saying, hey, using these technologies, we don't have 100 guys. Maybe we can get it done with, a lot less. And then therefore, straight off the bat, we bring those cost savings to the client. But embracing a lot of the call routing stuff, embracing a lot of the natural language, like a Siri type device from Nuance, putting that front and central to what we do, and also embracing a lot of the messaging and SMS technology so that if a customer likes to just sit on his phone, and assuming he has a Verizon phone that works on the subway and not the AT&T, I mean, if he's able to punch in something and say, want to use that free time to talk to the bank and get his problem solved, so be it. So those are two or three key things we are doing as we
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, you know, it's very interesting. You mentioned natural language. You mentioned voice. You're really talking about the fact that you're trying to make this technology, trying to get over the hurdle of the use of technology and it just being something quite natural and human in its feel. So, Sankar, stick around. After the break, we're going to speak to Kony, the team from Kony, and we'd like you to come back on the last segment to sort of talk about a bit of the vision of the future, if that's okay. You're okay with it?
Absolutely.
Great. Great. So we'll be back after the break to talk about how mobile is changing the mix in the service experience.
Comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Is your business model robust enough? In today's ever-changing business environment, people are working to transform themselves, their futures, and their business. Tune in to Business Reinvention with your host, Nancy Lynn. To stay ahead of the game in business, you have to constantly reinvent yourself and your organization. With Nancy's experience and that of her guest experts, you'll learn from stories of inspiration, innovation, and forward thinking. Listen for Business Reinvention live every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
You're back with Brett King at Breaking Banks. It's great to have our regular listeners, our regular Twitter followers up to Bradley Limer out in San Francisco, James Robert Lay, who's is there from the credit union world, Jim Morales. You guys, thanks for keeping the tweeting up and participating in the show remotely. So next up, we've got Kony and Bjorn Hildal. Bjorn, tell us a little bit about yourself and about Kony and the way you guys are bridging the service gap from a mobile perspective.
Absolutely. And again, thank you so much for having me on the show and giving me the opportunity to participate. And so my name is Bjorn Hildal. I'm the VP of Product Management here at Kony. I've been focused personally in mobile for the last almost 12 years, but really in the financial services, payments, banking, the last eight. What we're doing at Kony is we've actually crafted kind of a multi-channel platform. So from a single code base, you can deploy your phone experience, your tablet experience, and your desktop experience across and be able to utilize the same code base, the same experience, but customize it unique to each channel to really engage people in the way they want to be engaged with, you know, that a phone app feels like a phone app, a tablet app feels like a tablet app, and a desktop web or desktop native app feels like that. And what we've been really focused on in the banking or financial sector is breaking down these stovepipes of excellence that have existed today where they have just really an online channel, a mobile group, and there's a separate code base, separate stack all going back to the core system, and trying to create layers that can better do things like campaign management, enrollment, alerts, engage the customers in new ways that you don't necessarily, you know, fall off the radar going from online banking to a teller or from a mobile banking to an IVR system. So there's a good unified experience that's there as less and less people are starting to go into, say, branches or other more physical ways of engaging a bank. They're moving to mobile and other channels, trying to elevate those, give them the capability that exists there today in, say, a teller, that you can now get into online banking from account opening to other activities.
So would you say it's fair – would it be fair to say that today – if I'm a customer and I've become mobile-centric, so I'm now carrying around my phone and I'm doing more of my day-to-day things on the phone, you're checking in on my airline flights and I'm checking my email, I'm doing all these things. Is there a service expectation that I should be able to just solve some of these problems on the handset instead of having to ring someone or go into a physical place to, you know, to sign a piece of paper?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, we are, you know, as people now with smartphones and these tablets and these devices, they're always on. We are suffering a little bit from information overload. There's so many things that can distract us, whether it's a good quick game of Angry Birds, it's an Amazon, it's an eBay alert, whatever. So then when I come in and I'm actually using my device to do banking activity, it's got to be quick. It's got to be easy. You know, so really being able to have a great experience that allows someone to come in, exercise, and execute what they want to do, needs to be there. A great example is I was recently just trying to consolidate some accounts at my bank with my wife, and I couldn't do it online. I couldn't do it to the IRS. I had to schedule an appointment in the bank, but the only way to schedule an appointment at the bank is only through their online reservation system, not through my mobile. You know, right. And then it's just, it was a whole, there were so many drop-offs there that I actually felt like, do I even want to bank with this bank anymore? You know, do I want to walk away? Because here I am, I'm just trying to do a simple action, consolidate and close an account. And it made me go through a multi-day process.
So, you know, would you say that organizations that are doing mobile well are getting a, you know, better service brand reputation?
Yes, absolutely. Because if you really think about it, there's a whole generation that's really mobile first. They're not going to their computer. They're not, you know, and that's the main point of engaging, a bank engaging their customer and a customer engaging their bank. Now, the thing is that really the mobile applications to date have been, I would say, really porting or moving the experience online from online banking to the mobile device. But I still think we're at the tip of the iceberg with technologies like Nuance using voice. There's some technologies like MyTech and others using photo capture, using the camera, but also geospatial. You know, why can't I, when I go into my bank, my online, my mobile banking app, know that I just walked into a branch and potentially give me a code or a barcode that I can show the teller or show a customer service rep, and they know immediately who I am, no swiping of a card, just really personalizing and making that easier for me to say, okay, I'm at a branch or I'm at this engagement. Here's something that would be more relevant to me as a particular customer, whatever my status is at that bank.
Great. So if you are listening in to Breaking Banks today and you have a question for one of the team that's joined us today, feel free to dial in. We have the toll-free dial-in number. It's 1-866-472-5790 or email breakingbanksradio@gmail.com and we'd be happy to take your question. We do have one question, Bjorn, from the field. This is from one of our regulars, Brad Limer in San Fran. He says, financial mobile alerts are only as good as the data, context, and real-time delivery. How does a bank improve that process? So, you know, part of the problem here is enabling a great service experience. It's not just about putting an app in the app store or putting an app on your phone. What does an organization need to do at the back end to really take advantage of technology like mobile in the way you're talking about?
Absolutely, great question. So what we've kind of really what I get to take advantage of here at Kony is we have a great kind of server-side orchestration engine that allows me to connect and integrate with many different data sources. And from the mobile app, it feels like just one service call, but I can go out and call and pull data from a third-party service, from geolocation information, from a core system. All those things get seamlessly integrated into one basically network call or experience. So really what you want to be able to do is be able to look at saying, what is the goal of the experience of the application, and then where can I get that data from? One of the big limitations to date has always been that most people have been kind of focused on, okay, how do I get data out of my core, which is only part of it, right? When I go and call a core system for a credit card transaction, it might be in the wrong order. There's a lot of things that are inaccurate there. So we've built a nice layer that helps you either integrate with third-party financial transactions or other data services that will help overall create a better experience to the end user.
You know, how would you rate awareness organizationally? With obviously, you tell us a little bit about the clients you're working with, who you're enabling. But how would you rate awareness of the role mobile has to play in sort of the banking service experience within the industry here in the United States, particularly, but generally elsewhere?
Well, I think what we've seen is over the past 8 years, mobile initially was just a checkbox or a me too, but as it has morphed and really moved to kind of being a mobile first centric approach for a lot of organizations or customers coming there in demographics, it's become more and more important. And so it's rivaling in some organizations, their online banking, if not, they're trying to really merge the two. We've really seen some of our customers, we've actually, in the first 3 months of just using our application, more than doubled their user base on mobile, as well as created all new revenue streams. And this is a real important thing for a bank, right? Not only providing great customer experience, but also providing great return on their investment from a banking and financial engagement, whether it's opening new accounts, getting new deposits through things like remote deposit capture, providing new products that help make the customer's life easier, and then being able to roll out globally. One of the things that we've really helped a lot of our organizations is there have been real problems for it's more of a legacy mindset that if I want to roll out a new product or a new feature to my customer base, I have to go to talk to online banking, I have to go talk to the branch, I have to go talk to mobile. And we're trying to help them create a single place where they can roll that out, so the business can more act at the speed of the market rather than its own internal shackles that's been holding it back from being able to say, hey, I need to get something out in 2 months or a month. There's a promotion. There's a new thing I need to react to, rather than saying it might be 6 months, a year, 18 months. So we've really tried to work with our organization to help put that infrastructure and that facilities to make that happen for them.
So we had Neff Hudson, who I guess you're probably familiar with. Neff heads up the digital team at I can't remember his official title now, but he heads up multi-channel digital engagement for USAA. And he said that the big moment for them, and he said they're already mobile first, so more of their customers use mobile than any other channel. But he said the defining moment for them was when they introduced remote check deposit capture via the app, that within a very short period of time, massive increase in customers joining the bank specifically to get access to that capability. So what would you say are those, not hygiene factors, but what are those things that if you're deploying mobile as a service platform for the customer base today, what's the feature set that you need at a minimum?
Well, obviously you have to have access to accounts, bill pay, transfers, just really the table stakes. If you need to have help finding an ATM or place to actually withdraw cash, all those are just real basic. But I think some of the things that people really need to start thinking about, if it's a mobile-centric customer, account opening, being able to handle and manage your accounts better from a mobile device, not just be a read-only, but make sure that you can set and change things. And another key thing I think you need to think about in your mobile strategy is entitlements. Being able to think about from a family perspective, right? If a family, if I have, I want to give my daughter funds, I can now do that potentially over a mobile device, have her sign into that account, but only have view to that particular balance or that prepaid account I have there. How do I manage all that? If I make it very easy from a mobile device, so when she comes and says, hey, Dad, I need $20 to go to the movies, it's easy for me to do a transfer or be able to give that funds to her account instantaneously like that. That makes my life easier. It makes the relationship and the engagement with the bank more sticky in the sense that I'm now routing a lot of different interactions through them in a simplistic and easy way.
Very good. Very good. So what are you guys working on in the pipe that you find that's going to be really interesting over the next few years? And I guess you're growing rapidly as well. So tell us about your plans for growth.
Sure. Yes, we've been growing like crazy. So really what we feel is that is taking our kind of multi-channel experience platform, right? And then I'm building full-blown applications on top of it. And it's not just for retail banking, but it's also commercial private banking. So because there's different experiences there that different customers are going to expect from a private banking, from a high-net-worth individual to a commercial banking where you need to look at your commercial terms, your ACH wires and whatnot, versus a retail banking customer. But at the end of the day, they're all going to be integrating and interacting with the bank. And how do we do things like campaign management, alerts engine, entitlements, enrollment, building out that entire product capability so we can walk into a financial institution and say, here's an a la carte menu. You might already have some of these systems and some of these things in place. We can integrate to it. Or if you want to bring this capability into your banking platform, here it is. And then we can then have an integrated experience from the mobile channel into your online banking channel to desktop or tablet. And the desktop or tablet channel becomes key when you're really talking about some of the branch experience or even new branch experiences where you can engage your service customer service representatives or your tellers, your account managers, to now have a tablet to be able to roam and engage in customers at a branch location or other locations and be able to conduct those transactions on behalf or engage the customer in a much more social or easier way than maybe having to wait in line, stand behind this huge glass wall, all that type of thing, where you'd expect at a bank today.
Great. So, you know, it's interesting. I've been amused by, you know, B of A's launched these video tellers built into ATMs. But when you think, if you have your mindset mobile first, then it's like, well, why wouldn't I have that capability so you could speak to someone directly from the app, just, you know, hit a button and speak to a teller? And, you know, why would I go down to a store or a branch to speak to someone via video or even ATM? You know, sort of doesn't make a lot of sense. Seems like there's still a long way, or there's still many things that we could do. I like your approach to the whole, you know, account opening and problem solving being a key driver, Bjorn. That's great. So, Bjorn, we're just about to head into the break, but can you stick around so that we can get your expertise in the final segment as well, as we sort of do some visioning on what happens over the next 5 to 10 years?
Absolutely. That'd be great.
Great. So we'll be back after the break. Remember, if you want to call in and you want to be a part of the program today, our dial-in number is 1-866-472-5790. We'll be back right after this break.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Are you and your business well prepared? For what, you may ask? Well, what about workplace violence, cyber attacks, or general business disasters? Listen for Fear is Negotiable, Business Survival Skills 101 with your host, Pamela Hill. We'll bring you case studies of the businesses that don't prepare and the consequences that can happen. We'll also bring you best practice strategies that can help you keep your business running smoothly. Tune in to Fear is Negotiable, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
So you're back live with Breaking Banks. I'm your host, Brett King. I thought, you know, we'd be remiss not to get into this whole voice recognition technology, but also into these experiences like Siri that we've seen emerge on the iPhone in recent times. And you know, we're going to introduce to you now the team from Nuance. So, guys, we have Andy and Robert Wiedemann and Andy Morrow from Nuance. Robert, why don't you introduce yourself and the team at Nuance and what you guys are doing?
I'd be pleased to. And Brett, this is a very, very good show, and it's kind of neat to hear Sankar and Bjorn talk about their solutions. But so Nuance is the number one company in speech and natural language understanding for customer service. I'm Robert Wiedemann. I'm the Executive Vice President and GM of our division here at Nuance, and we've got on the phone with us Andy Morrow, who is our Senior Director of Product Management for our Nina Solutions, which you'll hear more about here. And actually, Andy was with Gary Clayton and some others, the core team that invented Nina, which brings Siri-like experiences to customer service applications.
So, you know, Andy, tell us about the advancements that have been made in the voice, you know, the voice recognition and this this type of technology. Siri burst onto the scene a while back, obviously with Apple, and got a lot of mileage. But, you know, what has happened over the last 5 to 10 years in terms of the advances in this technology, both from a voice recognition, but sort of this natural language thing that Shankar was talking about earlier?
Right, sure thing. I mean, it's funny because I've been with Nuance for, you know, 13 plus years and have done just a whack of, you know, IVR systems. So we've lived that transition and that improvement that sort of culminated with Siri and, you know, our virtual assistant for customer service that we call Nina. And it really
Does Nina stand for something?
It occasionally does. We like to sometimes refer to it as the Nuance Interactive Natural Assistant. but we'd like to just call her Nina.
Nina's cool, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the advancements have been kind of amazing. I mean, it started out with, you know, the ability to recognize speech, turning audio into text and getting better at that all the time. But the real advancements have been in the areas of natural language, which is pretty broad, broadly defined. So turning that text that you've been able to render from audio into meaning is the next phase, and we're getting very, very good at that. The ability to take, you know, long, complex phrases or very different phraseologies and turn that into structured meaning that, you know, programs, guys like Kony and others can play with and do interesting things with. But we're seeing right now real advancements in the area of, you know, conversational dialogue and the ability to really have extremely natural, fluid conversations with these virtual assistants. And it's bringing a level of naturalness to them that I think starts to get into the area where we're looking at them as assistants now. We're looking at them as systems that you engage with and have a relationship with. And that's due to the technological advancements that make them so easy to use.
So, Robert, you know, would you say that as far as Nuance is concerned, are you guys selling technologies like Nina as, you know, as a replacement for human interaction, or is it more a sort of a bridge between the technology and a human? You know, how do you guys position this technology?
Well, our solutions have historically focused on enabling customer self-service, so letting people get more done without necessarily having to talk to a human, but being able to integrate pretty seamlessly so that if they do need to get help from a person, they can. And a good way to think of it is the checkout stands at the supermarket, right? You can go and accomplish by yourself checking out of your groceries. Occasionally, maybe you need to show your driver's license for liquor or something like that, but for the most part, you can do it yourself. And so we do focus on how can we make this a human-like experience, let people get things done more quickly, more effectively, and oftentimes more accurately, but to be able to augment that with agents that can help if necessary.
So maybe another one to you too, Robert. If you know the I guess the advantage with a technology like this, in that sort of it's creating a natural dialogue, is that actually an individual can get to their solution, their required solution, much faster than the typical IVR tree, which has to cater for every possible instance. Would that be accurate?
Well, absolutely accurate, And just to extend on that, we've been providing IVR, you know, phone-based solutions for going on 20 years now, and we've been deployed to 3,000 contact centers, and so we got a lot of experience there. And speech recognition let you kind of march through instead of, as you said at the top of the show, hitting a touch tone to go to different places. You can just speak, and we would take you there. But that still has you go through steps. When you add NLU to this and what we've done with the Nina technology.
Sorry, what's NLU?
Natural language understanding.
Right, okay.
So when you use that technology, you can just jump to and get done what you want to get done. So I can actually say, pay my Visa bill next Tuesday from savings in full, and the system understands that, and the next thing you hear is confirmation. Right. And that is a dramatic improvement even over the speech-based systems that we've had for a number of years.
Fantastic. So we have a caller who's Peter from New Jersey. Peter, did you have a question for our guest on Breaking Banks today?
Yes, I was curious of how their firms are improving the customer experience for banks.
So Robert or Andy, do you guys want to answer this?
I can take that. We actually measure this quite heavily. Our customers, of course, really care about this. And there's a number of ways that we improve. So first is we do eliminate or significantly reduce hold times for people so that the self-service element allows people to get access to what they want to get done independent of the number of people that might be on staff at the time. We also deliver in pretty high percentages, in the 90 percentile, a lot of the information to those people in a very fast and accurate way. It is interesting that you know, when you look at agent environments, you don't always get an agent that knows as much about servicing the customer as another agent might. And so
yes,
the nice thing about automated systems and computerized systems is that the level of quality is always precise. If there's something we don't know, we will hand that off to a person, but for the most part, we can deliver. And so the speed of service and accurate service to customers is another important element of that. And then the last one that our customers are caring more and more about recently is delivering that experience across the different, you know, what are called channels or the places that customers contact them through, either the phone, the web, mobile device, and extending that even to other environments, which I think I'll touch on a little bit later. But we are automating and delivering high levels of customer service.
Fantastic. Peter, thanks for calling in. Appreciate your question.
Yes, could I ask one more? I was curious. I know you have multiple guests there. Mr. Krishna, what does his firm do differently from what was just described?
Well, you know, I think the SGS team and the Nuance team tend to do some stuff together. But we'll throw that to Shankar in the last segment and talk to him about that later.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for your questions. We did have one, Andy. I'll direct this to you again from the West Coast. How soon do you think we'll see voice or alternative biometrics become the norm for authentication? You know, we've got this identity problem emerging right now, which is these traditional identity metrics, things like social security number and, you know, even your signature, is really not robust enough to work in the digital environment. So, you know, we've talked about biometrics for decades being the solution for this, but, you know, from your point of view as a scientist in this area, you know, a technologist, how soon before we really see biometrics becoming the norm?
Right. Well, I mean, so touching on one of the things I think we've heard a number of people talk about here, which is this notion of multi-channel and ubiquity of, you know, these services everywhere you go, that plays into, you know, the question of when will biometrics become mainstream, because one of the problems with biometrics has been, you know, the ability to do what's called enroll. So there's a step where you have to train and have the system learn your biometric, you know, voice print, the equivalent of a fingerprint. And as we see these systems become ubiquitous across mobile, across web, across IVR, your different devices in your car, maybe in your TV, you know, all that kind of stuff, we start to get such a range of different times where you're talking to us that we can actually enroll you in the background. And we've seen a number of our customers do that so that you're not even necessarily aware that the system's been able to formulate that voice print. And then you have the option at that point to utilize that capability. So I think the ubiquity of these systems and you know, virtual assistants in particular is going to help break down that one kind of minor technical barrier, this enrollment step, but that actually has been a bit of a blocker. I think also as people start to become more aware, and this is a little more speculative, but as people do become more personally aware that their information is at risk through traditional means, four-digit passwords and unsecure pins, and as, you know, the knowledge seeps into the mainstream about how secure voice biometrics are and biometrics in general, that, you know, these types of solutions are going to be people are going to get used to them and feel comfortable with them and understand that they are, in fact, actually more secure than most of the mechanisms they're using. So I think as we roll these multi-channel capabilities out, virtual assistants become ubiquitous. I think it could be definitely in the next few years where we start to see a lot more mainstream adoption. We're seeing a lot of interest on our side right now.
So just quickly, we've got about a minute before the break. Do we need a central biometrics repository, some sort of central identity authority that captures all of this for this to work, or is this just more going to be about cross-app fertilization?
Yeah, this is Robert. I'll field that.
Okay.
We're finding our customers want to store their own set of voice biometrics. We've got over 23 million users that have enrolled in our systems for our customers, which is actually quite large in the market right now. But 23 million against the billions of people that are on the planet, is a fraction of the potential here. I do think that it's going to start with, a specific bank wanting to own the voice profiles of their customers across channels. I do think over time there's an opportunity for a centralized repository, but I think people are going to have to get comfortable with the technology first, and that's starting to happen. I think then the benefits of a single repository where a bank and an airline and a hotel or multiple banks could share the same voice profile of, Robert Wiedemann, that will come over time, but that's going to come much later. I think the most important thing is as people, as Andy said, begin to see the value of voice biometrics and how much time it saves them, and
right.
From a customer perspective, I think that'll grow on people.
And certainly, things like Siri have helped popularize that this technology is getting better. So, gents, thank you very much for joining us. Please stick around after the break. We'll have a bit of a discussion between all of the guests today and talk about what the future holds. We'll be right back after this break.
Comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. In sales, are you a lion or a vulture? Lions don't wait, they just go for it. Vultures hang around until the lions are finished and just pick up the scraps. How can you set yourself apart as a lion? Join the other aspiring sales lions and listen to Forget Patience, Let's Sell Something with host Ty Maynard. You'll learn the tips and strategies of top sales professionals. You'll gain more clients at a faster rate and at higher margins. If you're a sales professional, business owner, or executive, listen in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
So you're back with Breaking Banks. We're talking about the humanization of technology, how technology is improving to the point where it becomes harder to distinguish between a man-machine interaction and a human face-to-face or voice-to-voice interaction. So we have with us Shankar from Sutherland Global Services. We have Robert and Andy from Nuance, and we have Bjorn from Kony. So, Shankar, let me throw this one to you first, and then I'll cycle to the other guys. What's it going to be like in 5 to 10 years, this technology? Give me a scenario, or give me a vision for, in 5 to 10 years' time, how a customer is going to interact with a service organization based on the way this technology is evolving.
Yeah, I think it's going to be increasingly, obviously the station shape of the mobile phones are going to change, but I see that in the 5-10 years, it's going to be a smart universe. And what I mean by that is basically the mobile phone and the tablet are going to be central to it all. And the entire ecosystem is going to revolve around it. So I think, and with all the things already we are seeing in Medicare, Medicaid, and the health aspect of it, and insurance and the unbanked, and everything is going to come together to a tablet. So the world I see is going to be somewhat like this, where you go on your mobile phone or your tablet, and you're able to set the appointment with the doctor, and the doctor in turn, if he prescribes something, it auto-loads into a pharmacy that you register, and then the insurance is going to be part of that that's going to kick in, and banks are going to be there and kind of moving value across each of these parties and intermediaries. So there's technology, a lot of which we are discussing today, but I also think that people and processes and culture are going to change immensely, where the tablet is the center of the unit. Tablet or the mobile phone is going to be the center of the universe, and it is going to, just like there is a lot of smart cities of today wherein, for example, in China, I mean, midnight or 10 p.m., you can actually program the road to kind of, you know, the power kind of goes to a low level, and then once a car comes in, the first lamppost recognizes there's a car, it signals the second lamppost, so the light just brightens well enough to let the car through, and then they go back to using a lot less power. So similarly, I think the entire ecosystem around which a human being functions is going to come together using the tablet, and the banking is going to be totally different, because it is going to be nothing more than a utility that powers moving value from one part of it to the other in the retail.
Right, sense, embedded in just everything you do, but solving your financial problems.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Okay. So, Bjorn, you know, what's going to happen to the mobile interaction 5 to 10 years out? How do you see, you know, the mobile obviously is going to have an increased role, but what sort of interactions are people going to be having with their mobile in respect to day-to-day service and banking experiences?
I mean, I almost like to think back 5 years ago, we didn't really have the iPhone, and just think how much it changed then. You know, and so now look what we're going to get with these new devices and capabilities. I think that when you go into a physical location, the synergies or the basically interactions between your device and physical locations will grow tremendously. Whether it potentially, if we finally get to the point where your device can actually make a payment for you, or it's basically couponing or offers, right? When I walk into a dealership, my financial app says, hey, you're a dealership, do you want an auto loan at 2.5%? Those are the things that now help me do information overload before I had to do research. It's now telling me and learning from my behavior, since it's always on, it's always with me, it's uniquely tied to me. I can now develop a better relationship with my financial institution to offer different products and capabilities to help me go through my life path and interactions where I'm going from just I just need a checking account to a savings account, a brokerage account, mortgage, all those types of things. Be able to capture and interact with those informations at a whole new level that actually makes my interactions with the bank, rather than having to go out, fill out 40 pages of paper or, you know, set up appointments and meetings, get real-time interactions. And I think you brought up a great example earlier on the ATM is, you know, when there's a video thing, I think we're going to see that kind of interaction right there on the phone, be able to video and use your voice, use video to interact with these financial counterparts very easily.
But I like that you said it's going to improve the physical experience in a physical space as well. So it might mean that, you know, it's going to improve something like a branch experience because of the mobile or tablet integration as well for the consumer. So, Andy, you know, being on the technology side, what's your thoughts? You know, we got this, you know, the wearable computing drive and things happening now. So, you know, 5 to 10 years out, what's it going to be like for these types of technologies that can interact based on, you know, your voice and your behaviors?
Yeah, no, fun question. And I think, you know, wearables are right around the corner, so I think you're directionally right there. But I think what it leads to is there's a lot more need for speech. I mean, speech has really found its home on mobile. It will continue to find its home in wearables. The smaller the interface gets and the more natural it needs to be, speech is, I think, really entering the mainstream in a major way. But I think, you know, one of the things that I think is going to happen is that you're going to see a world where everybody's got a personal assistant, where everybody's got a virtual assistant. And those assistants are going to be tied into, in a very deep way, all of the companies that we deal with. Banks are, you know, early adopters here. We'll see it expand into retail and restaurants and everything. And what will be very interesting as we come to really trust these virtual assistants that are in our pockets and in our watches and in our Google Glass, if we choose to all wear those, is that as we trust them and they start to learn about us and know about us, and this notion of personalized contextual information, the fact that they'll know where I live, they might know a little bit about my family, they might know a little bit about my finances and health and all these kinds of things. And these will be things that I'll be willing to share because there'll be benefits. You know, health to a watch that can track if I'm going to have a heart attack is a bet I'm willing to make and a big benefit. And as the virtual assistants learn about me in a really deep way, they're going to be able to do much more than respond to speech commands and help me out and make things easier as just an interface. They really are going to become advisors and guides that are going to be able to help me along all dimensions of my life, including banking and finances and all that kind of stuff. I think the way I think about it, relating it back to, you know, the brick-and-mortar kind of aspect, you know, of branches and all that kind of thing, is that I'm going to be talking to my personal virtual assistant, whether I pick up the phone, whether I pick up my mobile phone. It's going to be like going to a branch and talking to someone I know. And I think the relationship, the next generation relationship that we have with the companies and banks in our lives is the one that's that we build ourselves and is our own personal virtual assistant.
Fantastic. Well, gents, I want to thank you guys for a really engaging show. There's a lot of very interesting information there. The context of banking and the role that it plays with consumers individually, it's going to be a lot more personalized, and your voice, your, you know, heuristics, your behavior. This is not just an opportunity to make service experience better, but it's an opportunity to know the customer better so that you can anticipate their needs. And that's what I really love about where you guys are talking about this technology. So our thanks to Sutherland Global Services, to the team at Kony leading on the mobile side and Nuance with some very interesting technology in terms of voice recognition. Next week for July 4th, we will be having the show, and we're going to be having the NeoBank show. So we're going to be talking to Simple, to Bluebird, and to Moovin, and talking about the neobanks taking over from the traditional checking account banks. Thanks very much for joining Breaking Banks. We'll have to see you again next week.
Thank you.
Been listening to Breaking Banks with host Brett King. Please be sure to join us again next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. We'll explore more changes and challenges next week.